Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics and Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you so kindly for being a part of the show. We are going.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
To have, as usual, a great show for you today. Hope you can stick around because we have some fun stuff as well. How's everybody doing? I trust everybody's Thursday is going fine. We're one day away from the last day of the work week. Are you happy? I am happy that we are one day away from the work week. How's everybody doing? I trust everybody is doing as fine as they can be, because you know what? We are going to be as fine as we allow ourselves to be. I'm a bit late because I just got over an interview. It's today is the day after O.J. Simpson's death. We just found out about it today. And there's a whole lot. And you know, we always talk about 6 degrees of separation. It turns out that a publicist that works with me, in other words, a publicist that always asks me to get some of their people onto different programs, etc. When she was booking somebody today, she said, "You know, Egberto, I actually used to jog with Nicole Simpson." And I'm like, "What?" She said, "I used to jog with Nicole Simpson, and I have a story for you." To which I said, "You have a story for me?" She said, "Yeah." And then she started telling me the story. And I said, "You know what? Hold on, Eileen. I think I am going to use your story today on my program, because, you know, I think people would like to hear about this." And you know what? So I'm going to play her story today, later on into the program, after we get a few things taken care of. I think it's something that you guys are going to want to listen to. As we speak right now, I'm queuing all these things up that I needed to get done. As you know, it's a one-man operation, guys, so it's a lot of work going in here. Anyway, welcome aboard. Lee Grant is in the house. Welcome aboard. Eric Hayes is in the house. Welcome aboard. Michael Rudnin is in the house. Rudnin is feeling sleepy. The rain is coming. Welcome aboard E2247. Thank you for being here from Brooklyn, New York. Eric Hayes from, of course, Atascocita, Kingwood, and Lee Grant, of course, from Montgomery County. We have Melanie Keelan. Welcome aboard, Melanie, from Barcelona, Spain. Maywood from Long Beach, California. We also have in the house, you know who I haven't seen in a few days? Our Yvette Avery Herod. Yvette, if you are there and just not logging into the chat, know that we're thinking about you. We haven't seen you, a regular in the chat. We haven't seen you in a while. You know, we miss you. We miss all our peeps that aren't here when they're not here. So, you know, we await your return to Politics Done Right chat. Anyhow, we are going to have a great show for you today. Anyway, this morning, we had, of course, Neil Aquino on the program with me today. Then today, afterwards, I did a book interview with Aquino and the Texas Progressive, the Texas Grassroots Group, Action Group, and Alliance Group, actually, the Texas Grassroots Alliance Group, about my new book. And then I interviewed Elaine Proctor. So I want Eileen Proctor. She's going to kill me if I keep calling her Elaine. Eileen Proctor. Anyway, today we had a discussion on the interest rates on KPFT. But before I get to that, let me see if I have anything to answer from you all on the chat. E2247 says, "Egberto launches a PDR motto today. I heard he chose Sapienta Omnia Vincit, wisdom conquers all." I love that, brother. I love that. I love that. I love that. AP News, Vietnam sentences real estate tycoon Truong Mylan to death in its largest ever fraud case. Real estate tycoon Truong Mylan was sentenced Thursday to death by court in Ho Chi Minh City in southern Vietnam in the country's largest financial fraud case. The 67-year-old chair of the real estate company Van Tin Phat was formally charged with fraud amounting to $12.5 billion, nearly 3% of the country's 2022 GDP. Lan illegally controlled Saigon Stock Market Commercial Bank between 2012 and 2022 and allowed 2,500 loans that resulted in losses of $27 billion to the bank. You think he needed to pay a heavy price for that? I think he does. I think if our capitalists who rip us off day in and day out paid a price for the ripoff that they cause us, it would be so. You know, we are always anxious to put people to death. You kill this person, you go to you get the death penalty. You know how many people capitalists kill with their financial state, with the financial machinations that they made? You know how many people killed themselves in 2008 during that crash because these guys went ahead and not gambled your money but stole your money? Please, everybody who can, please watch the program. It was made in, I think, 2010 or somewhere around there, The Big Short. Please watch The Big Short. You'll learn a whole lot. You know, they tried to make the 2008 crash about poor people having to get loans that they couldn't pay for, or the government forcing these companies to make loans. It was never about the government telling them to make loans. It was always about greed. It was always about the thugs, the capitalist thugs, ripping the American citizenry off. You saw the series that I did earlier on with Patrick, you know, the guy that I always bring on. I can't remember his last name now. Patrick, who came on to our program and gave the series on Wall Street. It was always a con on, and the people that were prey were poor people, people of color, and low-end white people as well. And they took advantage of people who knew the least about how corrupt this system really is. Maywood says, well, my well didn't go through. Well, good afternoon, everyone, again. Good afternoon, my friend. My well didn't go through. What do you mean by your well? I'm not sure what that means. But I don't know. Okay, let's continue here. We have also Lee Grant says, I don't know how Joe is going to spearhead a landslide with stuff like this happening. Anti-Israel activists were heard chanting death to America and death to Israel at a rally in a Michigan city recently dubbed the jihad capital of the U.S. Okay, all of that is promotion by Fox News. Fox News are finding the few people that are saying debt to Israel and that sort of stuff, blowing it up. And I love what I wish I knew you would say that, because Fox News tried to quarter Rashida Tlaib in Congress, in the halls of Congress last night or yesterday. And Rashida Tlaib turned to them and say, I don't speak to Fox News. I don't speak to racists. Thank you, Rashida Tlaib, for saying that. Maybe I'll cut the video and get it for you guys a little bit later. But Rashida Tlaib, thank you so kindly. All right, let's see what else we have. The Wolf of Wall Street, 2013, Comcreek. Yeah, I saw that. I think I saw The Wolf of Wall Street, but that one wasn't as factual as the one from the Big Short. The problem with I saw The Wolf of Wall Street, that one was a lot of staging. It's a true story, as I recall, but it has a lot of things that were overblown, and a lot of people actually went ahead and refuted some of the things that he had to say in that movie. So I don't quite follow that too well. All right. But anyway, let's go to the rant that I did this morning at KPFT on the IRS, because I want you guys to listen to this in detail. But more importantly, when you listen to this rant, I want you to listen to it from an educational point of view. It is important that we look at it not from an listen to it not from an ideological point of view, but from a practical, mathematical point of view based on how systems work. We have to stop being indoctrinated by the crooks that run our economy. We must grow up. We must use our minds. We must get intelligent, more intelligent than we all are. We must improve on our knowledge. Otherwise, they will continue and repeatedly rip us off over and over again, just like they're using inflation to rip us off today and then say, blame the government as opposed to blaming those who needs to be blamed. Please, 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 let's go ahead and blame those who must be blamed. So in that light, let's go ahead and listen to my morning rant at KPFT 90.1 FM Houston this morning. Yesterday, the consumer rate, the inflation rate, what we call the greed index or the corporate greed rate, CGR, came out and it was 3.5%, and what was expected was 3.4%. And folks, I want you all to listen to me well here. We're going to get to Neil right away, but I need you to listen to me here. This is evil. When I hear the way the 3.5% inflation rate is spoken about on every channel, whether liberals lean in, progressive lean in, right wing lean in, evil lean in, they all speak about this inflation rate as if it's some inherently magical thing that we don't have control over. I want to set the record straight with all of you, and I beg that you listen, and I beg that you then go do your own research, because you don't have to just listen to my voice. That all inflation is the people with pricing power, corporations, even you as a mom and pop shop, etc. When you raise a price of anything, that is called inflation. Remember that. That's all inflation is. You raise the price of something. Why would you raise the price of something? The average mom and pop business many times are forced to raise the price of something because their suppliers, their utilities, all those items go up in price. So mom and pop, like you and me, have very little what's known as pricing power. But you know who has pricing power? The different corporations that control things at their inception, at their beginning. And what are those things that are controlled at the beginning? Oil. We are an oil economy, even as we would like to change that. We are an oil economy. What that means is that barrel of oil that comes out of the ground, the people who have the power to price that. And by the way, taking oil out of the ground in the aggregate, when you add all the barrels of oil that we use in America and we figure out what the actual price is that corporations use to extract it out of the ground compared to the price it is sold for, it is huge, the difference. The profit is huge. I don't know. At one time, it was $2 and something cents to bring the average barrel of oil out of the ground. We pay $90 for it. So what does the price of oil do to the price of food? Because food is transported by trucks, when they raise their prices, your food go up, not because the farmers, our brothers and sisters farming the land, our friends are making more money, okay? They are not making more money. Their cost has increased as well because the tractors they use to feel in the fields, the fertilizers they use in the field are based on oil. So when you see people really hitting up oil companies for making things difficult, that is one of the reasons. When you're transporting the food, when you're transporting the equipment to the stores, all those prices go up. Other things that cause price increases, supply chain issues, but most of the supply chain issues that we have were not caused because of some natural issue. It was caused because of decisions that corporations made, going ahead and manufacturing in distant places that are not stable, where the it cost, whenever there's a shock, it costs you and it creates false scarcities. So what do these guys do? Whenever the oil prices fall to a price where their profit margin isn't the same, they cut the supply of oil. Not something that's happening naturally. They decide to create scarcity so that supply and demand comes into play and raise your prices. So this is one aspect. Oil companies and those, and not only oil companies, but others that controls this, the beginning source of production, they raise prices. Mom and pop and stores and grocery stores and these other people then raise their prices by necessity. But there's another factor here. How do you solve this problem? Right now, if you watch ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNBC, or whatever, they started to talk about, well, the feds are going to keep your interest rates high until inflation is wiped out or you get it down to 2%. That is the biggest, biggest assassination of your personal economy we can speak about. Because what they're saying is these guys that are profiting from inflation, remember what I said, inflation is a voluntary choice of making scarcity, of making things not available so that the price goes up. We have never had a scarcity of oil. Let me just let you guys know that straight up. You can look it up. We never had a scarcity of oil. Even during the pandemic, you could never go to a gas station and not find oil. In the 70s, when we had the oil shock, it was a voluntary choice of an embargo that created that oil shock. We've never had a shortage of oil. But again, the manipulation of these things that they like to call the free market is false. There ain't no free market. There was never a free market. Ask Professor and many others in this domain, Richard Wolff and others. Let's get a bit clearer now. So what the feds are asking us to do is we, the people of the United States, they're increasing our interest rates so that we cannot buy homes because it's too expensive, buy cars because it's too expensive, spend less money because our credit card rates are too high. So what the feds are asking us to do is we must give bankers more money because they generally charge higher interest than even the discount rate that the feds are charging. And they blame it, of course, on the feds. But the feds are asking us to slow the economy down instead of telling the corporations to stop raising prices. And that if they raise prices, we have a legal method to take it back, which is called we create excess profit taxes. And then when we collect those, we throw that right back into the treasury and give back to the people for the unduly use of our economic system by a few to rip us off. So the feds are asking us to not, they don't ask the corporations, please lower your prices. They're asking us to pay the bankers more so that we spend less in the economy. And when we spend less in the economies, then the corporations say, okay, we have maxed out how much we can get from the system and lower prices or keep prices steady. It's a scam. The economic system, as I've been explaining for decades, is a fraud for a few. And I don't take what I'm just saying at face value. Please, brothers and sisters, research how we have been taken year after year after year. Inflation that we're looking at is not your fault. It's not the fault of the mom and pop store that has to raise prices. It's at the genesis of where the economic system begins. And until we understand that and revolt against, and I'm talking about peacefully doing something to stop an economic system that's fraudulently just take as much as it can. When we threw a whole lot of money into the system during the pandemic, you know what that told the corporations? There's a lot of money that is in people's hands and we can take it. And how do we take it? We raise the price of gasoline because they do have the money to pay a higher price. It wasn't about shortages. It wasn't about not having the supply. And you don't hear that on the news because this has been the economic system since our inception. Again, this has been our economic system since our inception. I want any economist right now that's listening to me, who wants to discuss this, give me a call at 281-823-7747. I will speak to anyone who wants to talk the math of the fraud that is our economic system and who wants to refute that it is a fraud. It's 281-823-7747. It is time for us to spine up and stop being indoctrinated and understand what this economic system is all about. By the way, for our brothers and sisters who are out there on Twitter, which we are starting to build a good following on Twitter, please go ahead and retweet that. Please go ahead and retweet all our information. Please do. Now, it is important. It is important. It is important. It is important. Anyway, folks, we got a lot to talk about. Let's see what else people are saying as that story left. We have Eric Hay says, get you some financial literacy. Get a 5.5% CD. Protect against inflation. Okay. I love that, Eric. We're getting somewhere. But let's remember this. You are not fixing the problem by getting a CD that is greater than the current inflation rate. I want to repeat this. By just giving, you say you want to teach financial literacy. I agree. We need to be financially literate, but we also need to teach political activism so that we don't allow a system to take advantage of us. Let's give a CD at 5.5%. But if we keep inflation at 3.5% because of the thugs that are running our economy, that means we only make 2%. But if we prevent the thugs from stealing from us and inflation rate is about 1.5%, which it's good to have a little bit of inflation, then our profit would not be 2%, it would be 4%. So financial literacy should also encompass political activism to prevent those who are currently controlling the economic system from screwing you. And that's the part that you are missing, Mr. Hayes. Stop keeping an enslaved mind where you don't have control, where you are constantly running ahead of the people that are screwing you, and instead turn around and stop them from screwing you. All right. Michael Rudden says, greedflation, corporations raising prices above inflation, then blaming inflation and government for their raised prices. Result is record-breaking corporate profits is a nasty trick on the corporation's part. But it's deeper, Michael. There is no inflation. There is no customer-driven inflation. The supply chain problem was the ineptitude of corporations. The just-in-time inventory was this ineptitude of the corporations. Not having material built in the United States was the ineptitude of the corporation. Then, in order to keep their stockholders and their executives with the same type of pay, they then raise prices on us, the ones not responsible for them wanting to keep their profit margin and executive pay at least constant, if not increasing. People need to know these things. And those that are indoctrinated need to toughen up. They need to grow up. It's important. It is extraordinarily important that we do this. Okay. Thank you so kindly. I think it's important that we get that. All right. Eric says, watch the rate goes down in time for elections and Mr. B will run on that improvement like he does for jobs. It's all politi-tricks. It should be down now. We shouldn't be waiting. It should be down now. You know what? We'll get Biden elected immediately. But all neoliberals are scared to do this, and Biden is a neoliberal. A real person would say, okay, you want inflation to go up? You want every relative increase in price right now attributed to that corporate increase in profits and shareholder value, etc.? we are going to tax it back and bring it to the American people. And Americans, don't worry about that extra price you're paying for milk. We are going to send you a check right back from those who stole it from you. Anytime we get a real, not a far populist, but a real populist that, I'm saying, still allow people to make profit. That's what makes the world go around. We all want to make a profit. But penalize excess profit. And how do we determine excess profits? We go ahead and start doing some normalization, get some economists around, and we'll see where it goes. Because, folks, and people say, oh, that's going to hurt the economy. BS. The people who spend money are the ones who make the economy go around. Those people who are going to bank that money and throw it into Switzerland and throw it into a bank in the Cayman Islands, they don't help the economy. They just extract their parasites. That Elon Musk has several billion dollars, that's a parasite. It's not. He didn't even make that money. We did. Madre mía, por favor, mi gente. All right, Michael says, Egberto, it's an interesting question. How much does it cost to refine crude oil into usable forms such as gasoline, jet fuel? Very little in the aggregate because it's a constant process, right? So I think the extraction of oil, I don't remember up until when, in the aggregate around the world, because remember, there are certain wells that the oil just comes flowing. You have to do very little to get it out. So it's just like a cash machine giving you money with little expense, right? And it's the expense is really delivering that oil to the refinery. So the price of oil from the research and development, ground extraction to refinery, at one point in time, the aggregate was about $2 and something per barrel. In other words, add up all the research and development that goes into oil. Add up the amortization for the factory equipment and all that kind of stuff to get the oil to the factory. I think that's about two. That was a while back. So let's even call it $5. I'm going to just throw that out. Let's just call it $5. All right, because remember, after a well is drilled, and it starts producing, it's just like a machine. It just keeps producing, right? And when you do it fracking is a bit more expensive. But again, they like to tell you that break-even oil is like $50 a barrel. It's a lie. It's a lie. They have a lot of costs in there that they do to make it seem that way. Now, when it comes to the refinery and all of that, I honestly don't have those numbers. But I know that these guys can make a lot of money on very little, on the oil price being a hell of a lot less. And if these guys turn so much into expense to make it seem like oil costs more than it does, but don't believe it. It is just them ripping us off left and right. In fact, they're drilling our oil on public lands, and we don't make anything next to nothing from it. It's a ripoff. It's a big ripoff, and we have to learn that. All right, let's see. Finally, a case goes to trial on Monday. We don't know yet. We better wait till Monday, E2247. Mike Cisak says, every case, there will be a massive drop in the economy and the Fed will be late in dropping the rates. Biden will be blamed for a deep recession this fall. Oh, okay. Dream on, Cisak. Dream on. All right, there's no recession coming anytime soon. There's too late. It's too late for recession to develop, right? Right now, we're still growing at over 300 people per month. You know how long it takes that kind of ramp up to start drop? Let's say it drops to the next month to 200, then the next month to 100, then the next month another. Let's say it starts dropping 50% every month. That's still not enough to get into a recession. So dream on, my brother. Dream on. Dream on. I won't go there. Inflation caused by overspending and policy decisions of current leaders. I want you to numerically tell me, people like to say crap like that, Eric. Put that in a chart and numerically show me how government spending has created inflation while government reduction in taxes for the wealthy and at the same time spending the same money hasn't created it. Again, Those are just phrases that you guys use that are implanted in your mind without any thought process behind it. I want you to chart it. I can chart to you why giving money to the lower classes will actually increase the speed of the economy. And I can show you where, because of productivity increases, we don't have shortages. In fact, we still have large surpluses of oil and of all natural resources, which means there is no reason for inflation other than those with price and power choosing to do so. Troy Astro says, the opposite of inflation is stagflation, and we need neither. I agree. Marxist for Biden says, in a humane economic system, the states collect 100% in taxes and everyone gets a guaranteed income. Yeah, but I don't, that system, I don't believe in either, right? I think we, there are some people who want to work more than others. And I don't think for somebody who wants to work more than the other, they should all, they command more. The thing about it is, what percentage of that is commandment is theirs? So no, I believe in a work ethic. And I believe if you want to have a lot of money, you work hard. And if you don't want, if you don't need a whole lot of money, you don't work so hard. But what I don't believe is the exploitation of others, which is what capitalism is, the exploitation of others. All right, let's see what else we got here. Michael, Paul Fleming says, two of the Arizona Supreme Court justices who voted to reimpose the state 1884 abortion law will be up for re-election in November. Sadly, a lot of voters have historically not paid much attention to down-ballot elections. Some tell me that's about to change. I think that's about to change. I think we stand the risk, we stand the opportunity of, imagine this, getting a progressive Arizona Supreme Court and a fully blue Supreme legislature, even with gerrymandering in Arizona. So beware. I like I said, landslide coming, guys. Landslide coming, because what we've shown is the Republican Party has become the American Taliban. And once you have that, people start to get, oh, really? We can't have that. It's the same thing that happened during the Red Scare, right? The Red Scare, what happened? Democrats took over. And how long did they have a huge majority in the House after the super scare? Just think about it. Just think about it. All right, let's continue. Paul Fleming says, extending Trump's tax cut will cost $3.5 trillion over a decade. This is why Trump wants to cut Social Security so he can take a lifetime of earning benefits away from people. One of the reasons also that they want to raise the age is that you raise the age by a year, the amount of dead people that won't collect Social Security goes through the roof just by increasing a year. The amount of dead people that didn't collect Social Security goes through the roof. Folks, you don't get how evil these people are. Gatlin Combo, welcome aboard. That's basically saying poor people are dumb. No, poor people are not dumb. They don't have the time to research. It's that simple. When you are spending all your time working to feed your kids, there are two things you don't have. The time to nurture your kids, why we have an increase in kids doing what they shouldn't do, and you don't have the time to educate yourself. It's not that anybody is dumb. Dumb means something that's inherent to them. I definitely don't believe that. I believe everybody has a certain level of intelligence. But again, it's deeper than that. Rugged individualism is crap. Anybody who wants to talk about rugged individualism, put them out somewhere and let them break a leg and see how rugged their individualism becomes. All right? Just think about that. Okay, Michael Rudden said, Gatlin Combo, the belief that poor people are stupid, lazy, and otherwise is a common feature among right-wing bubble talking points, while they simultaneously elevate the filthy rich as having some special wisdom beyond just using money to make more money. The rich doesn't have a lot of wisdom. What they have is a lot of notoriety. What they have is a psychopathic way of being. Mike, Republicans keep shouting themselves in the foot on the abortion issue. As a liberal, I appreciate it. All right, let's see what else we got here. Eric says, no checks are going to be sent anytime in Texas soon. Oh, I know that. It shows you how great a person you are, Eric. How nice you are that you care about the indigent, that you care about those who proven by experiment that a basic income will be able to take them out of poverty and make them eventually self-sufficient. But you don't care about that. You just want them to have a check because you are a conservative and you think you lift yourself up by your bootstrap when you had a hell of a lot of help and it wasn't just you. It was a whole lot about who you are. Look in the mirror and you see a big part of it. Musk away, he brought 23,000 jobs to Austin right away. He didn't bring a damn thing to Austin. I did. You did. others did. Must don't know his butt from his ass, which is, should be the same, right? All right. Marxist Biden said, this show is so refreshing. It's hard to find true Marxist content online from people who understand the urgency of our Marxist agenda. Well, I don't quite call myself a Marxist. What I do call myself is a free enterpriser. I don't believe in where we all pool everything together and split it all equal. I believe in equity, not equality. Equity means you make your own equality. All right. Equity means you go out there and do what is necessary to make what you want to make. At the same time, you don't have others that are stopping you or not giving you the ability to make who and what you can. So no Marxists for Biden. I love you. I'm glad that you're a people person, but I am not of the ideology that we pull everything together and all of us get the same, because I do believe that conservatives have a point where we talk about everybody must have a skin in the game and their relative skin in the game for those who have the ability to do so. I'm not talking about somebody that's disabled. I'm not talking about somebody that has other issues. I'm talking about in the aggregate. All right. Great. Eric Hayes says, Larry Summers is a fraud. He's one of the a-holes responsible for what happened after 2008. He's absolutely so. And they all colluded not to throw those bombs, those criminals in jail. All right. Let's remember that. Whoa, let me go ahead. I'll tell you what, folks, let me break for a minute and go ahead and play Eileen Proctor, who is a publicist, a Hollywood publicist. And since it's O.J. Simpson's day of death, let's go ahead and do a little something right there. Welcome to another edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. You know, today something interesting happened, and I am not exactly sure how I'm supposed to feel about it. Today is the death of O.J. Simpson, so I won't get personal about it, but I'm here with Eileen Proctor. Before we get started, Eileen, tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do.
I'm a publicist, formerly based in Los Angeles, now Asheville, North Carolina, but there is no difference between 213 and 310 and 281.
There you go. But anyway, you know, today you were booking somebody with Politics Done Right for a program. And mm-hmm. in passing, you just said, Egberto, I got a story for you. With the passing of O.J. Simpson. And when we talk about 6 degrees of separation, what we're talking about is it's amazing how close you are with others when you're close with one. It's just amazing that 6 degrees of separation's really true. Tell us a little bit about, you said you actually knew Nicole Simpson.
Uh-huh, right. Well, it's a really interesting story. 2 days after I arrived in Los Angeles, I was staying at the home of a friend. And because he was so nice, I decided to go fill his refrigerator. I went to a supermarket, and as I was gathering up food, some woman approached me, started talking to me, and she said, I told her my story that I had just arrived. And she said, where are you staying? And I said, well, I'm not sure. I just arrived. And she said, well, why don't you stay at my house? Okay, because I'm totally naive and totally open. I said, okay. Well, she picked me up that afternoon and she took me to the house that she lived in, which was the house that a 20th Century Fox built for Shirley Temple. And I was living in the guest house, which was a mansion unto itself. It was the playhouse. In front of me was the Olympic-sized swimming pool and the Olympic-sized tennis courts. Okay, so that's where I was living. Right vertically opposite me, it was at 476 Rockingham. If Rockingham sounds familiar to anybody, that's where O.J. Simpson lived, at the corner lot on Rockingham. So I used to jog every morning, and I would see beside me because it was recognizable, was Nicole Simpson. And she was very often very red, very bruised, sometimes black and blue. And I never mentioned it to her. We started talking together. And because I was embarrassed to ask her, it was just really simple. But O.J. Simpson was a regular in Brentwood. I would often see him just walking along, and he would be approached by strangers, both white and black, who would say, O.J., we love you. O.J., please, 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 can I have an autograph? O.J., can I buy you a drink? And I was infuriated because he was charming. He was lovely. Nobody knew what I knew, that he was beating his wife black and blue. Okay, the story that I told you was after the murder. I had already moved, and right opposite me, again, I have this great luck, was a woman called Barbara Ann Klein, who was a stunt woman, who was became one of my best friends, and we traveled in Europe together, and we had a lot of adventures. But she was a stunt woman, and her last film, which with O.J. Simpson, she was the stunt person on it, was O.J. Simpson, and I forgot the name of the film, but he played a frogman where he would learn to cut somebody's throat underwater with two knives. Okay. A few days later, I was walking down Beverly Drive, and I said, oh my God, I know how he did it. So I called Hard Copy at the time, and we did a segment on it. They loved the idea. Well, the idea, which I knew from Barbara, was that he wore a scuba suit. Now, a scuba suit is made out of neoprene. And we had her catch fire on the thing because she knew how to do that. We had her whipped and with the scuba suit, can't see it. And you can have blood all over it. We threw blood on her, which I got to mention when I talked to you earlier, or ketchup, whatever it was, genuine fake blood. And you could just put a hose on it and there's no mark on it. And he had two scuba suits. I brought it to the attention of Marsha Cross. They never, never opened the subject up. But we had our segment on Hard Copy. That's my story.
And that is, and you're sticking by it.
Yeah.
You know, that is interesting that when I heard that story, I said, you know what? I want to put that out there. Today is the day that, you know, he left the earth. I think most people on this planet believe that that he did it, even as he was acquitted of the work. And again, you know, there are a whole lot of people making hypotheses on how it was possibly done. Go ahead.
Okay. O.J. Simpson lived in a white world. And he had photographs with white people all over. When Johnny Cochran arranged for a house tour, he exchanged the photographs of him with African-American celebrities. It was one of Johnny Cochran's brilliant
He staged the house.
Yeah. It was a very white neighborhood at the time.
Yeah, it is interesting what went on during that time. But again, he's no longer with us. And there's one thing that kind of shocked me that you said, and you said when after the murder that the same reception that O.J. got in that neighborhood from both black and white alike. They all wanted to be, they all wanted to be seen with him. They all still loved him, and none of them believed or cared.
That something
happened to Nicole Simpson
and Ron Goldman.
Yes, we better remember Ron Goldman as well. Well, look,
the family never got a penny from him.
They never got a penny. I just wanted to put that out there in the ethos on the day that he left the planet, because I think a lot of people would, you know, we have all kind of hypotheses. I hadn't heard this one, nor did I see the carbon copy, the hard copy segment that you did with the people at Hard Copy. So anyway,
I don't even know if it's streaming or hard. You know, I never looked it up.
Yeah,
was the stunt woman.
Yeah, I'm going to go look for it. But anyway, Miss Eileen Proctor, great publicist from LA, now in the only real progressive city in North Carolina now.
Maybe Raleigh is, maybe.
Well, yeah, Raleigh. I guess Raleigh
is. But I am dedicated to making North Carolina blue. And with your help.
Yes.
Yeah, I am passionate about it.
Well, guess what? We're not only going to make North Carolina blue this election cycle, we're going to make most of the country blue. With that, Eileen Proctor, thank you so kindly. Go ahead, make your point.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a song which I co-produced, which I would love you to play on there. It's with Indira Stephanopoulos. Can't pronounce her right name. It's called Electile Dysfunction. And it is beautiful. Electile dysfunction. We're at the junction of electile dysfunction. I'll send it right over to you.
I will play that. Thank you so kindly. Elaine Proctor, publicist.
Eileen.
What did I say?
Elaine.
My bad. Eileen Proctor, thank you so kindly for having been on Politics Done Right.
As always. I adore you.
We spend a lot. That was Eileen Proctor. I better not mispronounce her name one more time again. And Erica, she is a publicist for a lot of big name book writers, et cetera, et cetera. She's been doing it for several years now. And every so often she'll get somebody say, hey, they want to be on Politics Done Right. And she'll throw them here. In fact, I think I have three outstanding interviews that I have with people that she works with, including the guy who discovered Jennifer Lopez and a couple others. So anyhow, that is what it's all about. No, she's not scattered. She's just British. That's it. She's British. Let's see. And I love that woman. She has done quite a bit in the business for several years, and she's currently being used by many of the progressive activists in LA to get their books out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, let's see what else we got here. We're coming close. F-15 is a dual role air-to-air and air-to-ground tactical fighter. A 2000 bomb, Mark 84 bomb, causes lethal fragmentation to a radius of 400 yards. Just 40 yards shy of a quarter mile. Wow. I didn't realize it was that lethal. I know it's big, but a quarter mile? Wow. Shrapnel. Wow, that's huge. A quarter mile. Oh, that's a lot of damage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lee Grant says, why did your dad need a criminal defense lawyer? Who are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about Bridge. I didn't know that, Bridge. So they use the same lawyer. That's cute. That is cute. All right. Paul Fleming says, she was my world. Tragedy struck on March 20 when former Kansas City Chief cheerleader Crystal Anderson died of cardiac arrest caused by sepsis at 40 year old after second stillbirth, according to her husband and death certificate. Now her husband is speaking out about her death and question about maternal care. He wants answers. Oh, very, very much so. Wow. I wonder if they're going to tie that to the laws in Kansas. I don't know what the laws are in Kansas. Anybody knows if that has anything to do with the maternal care that she got? All right, let's see what else we got here. Do any ideas for stopping genocide arise on seeing before the settlers Gazan Jews, the history of Jews in Ottoman Palestine and the war? I haven't seen that, but that sounds interesting. That sounds very much interesting. All right, continuing. Bridge, he did it for free. Oh, wow. He was a nice guy. Anyway, folks, we're coming close to the end of the program. Before I close out, anybody wants to call in and say anything, that number is 281-823-7747. Again, that number is 281-823-7747. Let's see. Hayes says, tax those that receive college loans forgiven. Oh, Lord. Eric, have you ever noticed that you are always protecting the wealthy at the expense of the poor and the middle class? Have you ever noticed that even as the corporate class has screwed you as well, you are so fixated because of a false ideology of supporting those who have harmed you the most and hurting those who have done the most for you? It's amazing. I just find it utterly amazing. But anyway, we're coming close to the end of the program, so it is time for me to do my ask. And I'd like to ask all of you to support the program. And how can you support the program? You can support the program by becoming a Patreon. How do you do that? You go to politicsunright.com/Patreon. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. P-A-T-R-E-O-N. politicsunright.com/Patreon. You can also support us or find all the different methods in which you can support us by going to politicsdoneright.com/support. That is politicsdoneright.com/support. That gives you all the different options on how to support our program. You can also go to politicsdoneright.com/books. politicsdoneright.com/books. My latest book, and I did an interview on the book today, Tribulations of an Afro-Latino Caribbean Man, Racism Didn't Stop My Smile, Hope, or Journey Forward. Please check the book out. Go to politicsunright.com/books. Get a copy. I promise you, you will love it. And they, you know, Neil Aquino, when he interviewed me, he read pointed out a section of the book that I want everybody to read. I wrote this book. The conclusion. I wrote this book for two audiences. I hope that the words I chose were sufficiently tactful for all to feel compelled not just to read, but to empathize. It is short and concise enough to read over and even more than once to get some of what is inferred but purposefully not said directly to prevent that automatic objective thought process shutdown. The first audience is people of color. We suffer day in and day out from indignities, sometimes overtly, but most of the times behind the scenes, covertly. We can address the overt immediately. The covert can be inferred and require analysis to show correlation. The second audience is for those who never have to think about their race. I hope you choose to see America, the world through my eyes and stories, if for the duration of this read. Please pick it up. Tribulations of an Afro-Latino Caribbean Man. Racism Didn't Stop My Smile, Hope, or Journey Forward. Check it out. Go to politicsdoneright.com/books. I'm going to put that in there again. politicsdoneright.com/books. Another way to support us like right away is to subscribe to our newsletter. politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. Please become a paid subscriber. A paid subscriber, you allow us to continue doing what we do. We cannot do this without you. I'm going to go process the interview that I did with Neil Aquino and Alex Montalvo. And then I'll probably play that on one of the days next week. All right. Anyway, folks, thank you so kindly for being a part of Politics Done Right. We're going to get out of here. My name is Egberto Willis, and you know how I end this baby. I am what? Out!
We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.